I already shortened the title a bit. Might help. Although, can you hear me? Okay. So where's the light? Let's see. Middle. Ah, thank you. Although I know I'm nowhere near the records that were set yesterday in terms of short title. So, adaptive radiations in space. First of all, I'd like to thank many of the previous speakers for introducing so many concepts and ideas that I will be using in this talk, so that makes my job here real easy. Then, of course, I'd like to thank the organizers for organizing this splendid workshop. We've seen a suite of fantastic talks so far, and I think there are more to come. About this one, I don't know. We'll see. So, this is about, and there's the wrong title here, anyway, Niche Evolution in Space, Adaptive Radiations in Space. I will talk first a little bit about adaptive radiations in general, some of the theory, some of the problems, then move on to some patterns that we can see in extant communities. Evolution is hard to study as it goes, because it kind of takes a long time most of the time, especially adaptive radiations takes a long time unless you deal with really tiny things like bacteria. But most of the time, all you can do is really observe the end result, which is then a community or meta-community. And there are some patterns that have been observed and already discussed a bit here that I find interesting and that might be possible to address with some modeling approach that I will get to towards the end here. All right, so first of all, adaptive radiations. It is kind of a pattern in itself, but also a process somehow. The pattern is that of rapid, perhaps then, of ecological diversification of a single clade, often after some invasion of a new region, like the Galapagos Archipelago or a lake or something like that. The process can be roughly understood as evolution by natural selection towards a set of fitness peaks somehow, or niches, if you wish. It has been considered, and I think still is considered by many, as a key process of the generation of biodiversity in general. One of the points I want to make here is that it's more than just a sequence of speciations. An adaptive radiation starts with a single speciation, so one species becomes two, but then the following speciation events all occur in the context of the evolving community as we go along. So the last speciation occurs in an almost fully developed community of perhaps interacting species, much different from the first one, which was in this virgin habitat where lots of resources were available and so on. So I think we need to study the whole process of adaptive radiation, not just the single speciation events, to understand the whole process. There are already lots of models available that can generate the overall pattern of rapid ecological diversification. Here's just one example. There's a trait axis here, which corresponds to some sort of resource utilization trait. There are actually five resources available to this organism. You might think of it as five different seeds, and then these trait axes would then be, perhaps if we talk about Darwin finches, would be the beak size of these birds. So with perhaps a large beak, you can crack the big nuts, but with only a small beak, you can handle the small seeds. If we start with a small seed specialist here, it will deplete that resource. I have in this model dynamic resources. So fitness is determined solely by the availability of current resources. They are the sort of five different feedback variables, if you wish. If everybody eats small seeds, it pays off to have a slightly larger beak and try to eat some of the larger seeds that are in good abundance already because nobody eats from them. So initially here we see over time, then we see gradual evolution towards some sort of branching point here where we get evolutionary branching, a process that has been described already in quite some detail. Thank you very much. So there's this specialization towards larger seeds, and this is another branch here that stays specialized on smaller seeds that branches again, and we have further branchings up here. So at the end, we have a full community of five different seed specialists, a complete adaptive radiation, if you wish. Fine. So, and we have, there are plenty of these type of models out there. Some call them, I like that term, the eco-evolutionary models. They're entirely driven by individual-based processes, feeding in this case. Individual fitness is determined by the amount of resources you are that you are able to eat. And your fitness then determines the amount of offspring you make. And then the offspring are like you, but there are some rare mutants and so on, which gives us this gradual evolution and diversification. The neat thing here is that speciation or possible extinction are not just put into the model. They follow from the ecology and the evolution as we go along. So I don't have a special speciation parameter or anything like that. Speciation is just a sort of an emergent property of the ecological setup. Okay, fine. So what's wrong with this? It looks fine, but there are some problems. Or some things that are not in there that I would like to put in, put in there. First of all, there's no sex. This was a totally asexual model. And for many of the organisms that we are interested in, are they are sexually reproducing, they're diploid, and there's all these problems with recombination and so on. And you need, for speciation to occur, you need the evolution of reproductive isolation and so on and so on. That is a complex business. I will not deal with it here, but just mention that that would be nice to be, if that could also be dealt with in these type of models. What's also missing, and I find also that quite annoying, it's my own model, but anyway, space is missing. There's no spatial segregation, and I think it's quite naive to think that a whole radiation like this one would happen in complete symmetry. We would assume, and I think data speaks in favor of that, that there will be some sort of spatial segregation as we go along. And also including space gives us some reproductive isolation for free. So it at least partly solves the problem of reproductive isolation and sexual reproduction and so on. However, models of adaptive radiations in a spatial setting are rare, I would say, and our understanding of the process is quite sketchy. So let me now just shift track a little bit and talk about the patterns you might be able to explain if you would include space in a model of adaptive radiation, such as phylogenetic clustering, that has been discussed and seen in a lot of organisms lately, since now we have the techniques to do all the genetics and phylogeny of almost anything. Phylogenetic clustering means that if you look at the meta community, so kind of the end result of an adaptive radiation in a spatial setting, co-occurring species tend to be more closely related than as if they were randomly drawn from the total species pool. That is a pattern that has been observed. The opposite pattern has also been observed. So there's nothing to say that we should expect one or the other. Just noting that these two different patterns have been observed. So either clustering or over-dispersion, meaning that co-occurring species are less related than if they were randomly drawn from the total pool of species. in the region. There's also the notion of niche conservatism, as already been discussed today. Thank you very much. But there are different takes on this. One is that if you compare different traits, some traits tend to evolve slower than other traits. And especially, it has been observed or discussed that beta niche traits concerning the habitat where a species can occur, may be conserved relative to alpha niche traits. So just repeating the alpha beta niche division here, the alpha niche or an alpha niche trait has to do with local coexistence, local interaction between individuals within the same habitat, something that makes local coexistence possible. It might be diversification in the diet, in their microhabitat use, or something like that. Whereas a beta trait or a beta niche has to do with where you can possibly find a species. It's climate requirements or soil type or whatever it can be, depending on the organism, of course. So then, in some data, it has been observed that the beta niche actually is conserved relative to alpha niche, meaning it evolves slower somehow. It would be naturally so if they are hierarchical, such that the alpha niche somehow is nested under the beta niche. That would be the case if, for instance, the alpha niche would be something like microclimate or microhabitat that would make local coexistence possible. But then you can see or realize quite easily that a small shift in your climate requirements would perhaps make local coexistence possible, whereas a large shift in your climate requirements would make it possible to invade different habitats. So there's this kind of natural, perhaps sometimes, depending on the organism, of course, natural perhaps nesting of the different niches, such that the alpha is somehow nested under the beta, which would then give the natural result that the beta niche traits somehow evolve slower than alpha niche traits, simply because it requires larger amounts of adaptive change somehow. But there are counterexamples to that pattern as well that has been observed. Quite the opposite pattern. So here's the niche space. Now I'm going to model this quite simply by introducing one alpha trait and one beta trait. It's quite easy, but is, to my knowledge, not really done before. I don't know. Maybe you know some examples, but it's an interesting path of science, I think. So let's see what we can do about this. Here's a sketch of the model I'm going to use. There are three different habitats. These could be three different ponds with different pH. It could also be three different islands in an archipelago with different temperature, climate somehow, or whatever you may think of. Within each habitat, there are three resources available. I just call them resource 1, 2, and 3, starting 1 here, 2 in the middle, and 3 over there. Okay. They are the same in each habitat. So an organism then has two traits, an alpha trait and a beta trait. The alpha trait determines on which resource this organism is specialized somehow, which resource it best feeds on. And the beta trait then is some sort of climate niche trait. It determines in which habitat you are best adapted somehow, where you have the highest fitness, all else being equal. Here is one model simulation where... So I have the alpha trait on this axis here. Time starts here in this corner. So I start with actually a specialist on resource 1. And there's There's no beta evolution in this slide, just to show what can happen just in one single dimension. So adaptive radiation is possible in the alpha dimension. There's quite rapid branching, first here and then another branching here. And in the end, we have three resource specialists within a single habitat, but still. There's also the possibility... Oh, yeah. So branching may or may not occur depending on parameter values, of course. Here's an analysis of the somewhat simpler model with only two resources, but the principles are the same. So it very much depends on the trade-off, as we have heard about also earlier today. With a very strong trade-off, there will be selection towards one resource or the other. The generalists do very badly because they can't feed on anything, really. Actually, the specialists are local ESSs. With a very weak trade-off, a generalist is the ESS. So it just sits there and it's quite happily consumes both resources and nothing else can invade. But there is a middle ground where we do have a branching point in the middle. So there is evolution towards this point, and then evolution and branching follows, and we get two specialists in the end in this simplified model. But in the full model, I had three resources, but you get just two branching events, and you fill up the niche space somehow. Anyway, there's also possible radiation in the beta trait. So that's this axis, the y-axis. Time here again. I start with the specialist in one habitat, and it quite rapidly branches into three different habitat specialists. The coloring here is coded on that's where you find them, in which habitat they occur. Not necessarily to which habitat they are adapted, since, for instance, these green dots here represent individuals that are actually mostly better adapted to habitat one, but in that habitat they are outcompeted by these blue relatives here. So they thrive in the green because there's no competition there. And slowly adapt, or quite rapidly adapt to the green, and then can invade the yellow. You can't hardly see, but there's a strain of yellow dots moving up here until they have also invaded the fully and adapted fully to the yellow habitat. Okay, so we can have branching and diversification in both dimensions. What happens if everything happens at once? Ah, exciting. Well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to see the rest?
Yes.
Okay. So here we go. No, sorry. Oh, well, wrong slide. Well, anyway, next slide. I'll keep you hanging there. Okay, it's a cliffhanger. We'll see. So first of all, just to point out that we have kind of the same pattern with the trade-off between the different habitats. So whether it's easy to be habitat generalist or hard to be habitat generalist will give us different results here. If the trade-off is very strong, the generalists are punished a lot, then you would only get habitat specialists. If the trade-off is very weak, there's an ESS in the middle somehow. But in between, there's quite a large range of parameter values where you can get evolutionary branching also in the beta trait. So now let's see what happens then. Ah, finally. Here we go. Here's one example of what can happen. I start again with a specialist on one of the habitats and one of the resources. There's quite rapid, in this case, radiation in the alpha trait. So we quickly get resource specialists that eventually, one by one, diverge into the different habitats. I should have said earlier, I think it was mentioned in the text, that there is passive dispersal between all these habitats. And, of course, the amount of dispersal gives slightly different results, but not qualitatively, actually. So, in this case, the end result is a community of 9 coexistent species. If you look at the conservatism or lability of the different traits in the different dimensions, you would call this, just looking at the end result, that there is alpha niche conservatism here. Because the sister species here at the tips have all diverged in the beta dimension. That's the most labile trait here that has most recently evolved somehow. And the alpha evolution happened a long time ago. And after that, after the first radiation here, there's no alpha radiation or alpha evolution happening at all. You might also call this pattern here phylogenetic overdispersion, since we have in principle three different subclades, and within each habitat you find one representative from each clade. You can also get the opposite pattern in this model, where there is, now I sort of twisted this around a bit just to show you, get a better viewpoint. It's sometimes hard to find the perfect angle to show these three-dimensional things. Anyway, here's the alpha trait on this axis now, the beta trait here, and time goes from zero here and in that direction. So we start over here with the specialist on one of the habitats, one of the resources. There's quite rapid evolution, diversification in the beta trait, followed then by sympatric speciation, you might call it, within each habitat. And this would then be the case of beta niche conservatives somehow, or phylogenetic clustering, in the case that such that within each habitat you have two close relatives coexisting. These are the two basic sort of extremes or basic patterns. They occur in different parts of parameter space. So here is the trade-off in the alpha dimension. Here's sort of a principal sketch of what you get if you run lots and lots of simulations of this model. And there's this, the beta trade-off. If it's too strong or too weak, there's no radiation in the beta trait. You only get alpha radiation. The same goes for the alpha trade-off. But there's this sort of intermediate phase space, parameter space where you get radiations in both traits. Over here, there is beta niche conservatism, really meaning that the beta trait radiates first. So it's kind of counterintuitive, at least doesn't go well with the notion of conservatism here. This is really where the beta trait is the one most rapidly evolving. You rapidly have this filling of beta niche space, and only after that comes the diversification in the alpha niche direction. Over here we have the opposite pattern, where the alpha niche diverses first, and then you have a secondary diversification in the beta trait. But there is space for something in between, which is kind of interesting. If you can spend hours looking at simulations from this region of phase space, and you can get different results depending it can be quite random actually how it all ends up. I'm just going to show you one example, which contains a little bit of both, shall we say. There's an initial branching in somewhere in the alpha trait, but also quite rapidly in the beta trait in this clade over here. But what we see is, in principle, two subclades. This one here with three species where the alpha trait is conserved, but the beta trait has diversified. And there's another clade over here where the beta trait, well, it diversified initially, but lately we have this diversification in the alpha trait. So we have a little bit of both patterns in this example. Oh, well, this is work in progress. I have a long to-do list. I would like to do a bit more analysis on the current model, just figuring out where you would expect what kind of pattern and so on. You can do a lot of analysis, but I don't have the time to get into the details. It would be interesting to include some sort of interdependencies between the alpha and beta traits. They were totally independent in this model, but you might expect that there would be some correlation somehow. Asymmetries. And, of course, I have sex on my to-do list. Who doesn't? Also, evolution of dispersal would be interesting. So, some conclusions. eco-evolutionary models are a powerful tool to theoretically study the process of adaptive radiation, I think. Especially since, as I mentioned, you get sort of speciation for free. You don't have to plug that into the model explicitly. Adaptive radiations occur in a spatial context, and that should not be neglected if you want to study this theoretically. Many of the observed patterns are quite easily generated in a quite simple model. And some results then regarding the observed patterns, phylogenetic clustering, for instance, then beta niche conservatism occurs when habitat diversification is easy, somewhat contrary to intuition. And then also the conclusion that if we have some sort of hierarchy, I mentioned this in the beginning, we expect the alpha niche to perhaps evolve faster than the beta niche, simply because they are basically the same trait and there's this nesting. Some prospects on a sort of wider perspective, I think it's high time for people like me doing adaptive dynamics and or evolutionary game theory to take a wider grasp and address questions regarding meta-community evolution or macro-evolution. I totally agree with you, Joel, that that's what we should do. If we're not already doing it, that's what we should try to do more of. Also, I think that this kind of modeling that I just showed you of with alpha and beta niche traits captures a lot of the essence of a lot of ecology and a lot of the patterns that we see out there. You can, for almost any organism, you can sort of make out what are the alpha niche traits and what are the beta niche traits, and some traits might be a bit of both, but still, it's quite versatile way of modeling things and looking at the evolution of and the radiation of communities. So I think it's a promising way forward. And finally, I'd like to highlight a poster by Mikael Pontarp where similar modeling is being done, only one trait dimensions. So there is a strict hierarchy between the alpha and beta niches in that model. But it's more developed than the results are more developed. So I would like to just pinpoint out this postage somewhere down here, I don't know. Have a look at that and discuss it with Mikael or with me and some other literature that you might find interesting. And then thanks for listening.
Can we take just one question?
Oh yes, so then you would get some sort of high or at least correlation between the two traits. So that, yeah, but so that's of course, and that's also a possibility for extra analysis of this model. You would take some resources out and yeah.
Great. Well, thanks to all the speakers.
Appreciate it. Yeah.